Now, I remember when I was in college, because they still had it, you know, I went to a black school, so we still had some visitation restrictions. And I knew these cats one year that snuck a girl up in there in a trunk. Like, it was like it was moving season, and she curled up in a trunk, and they carried her and took her upstairs in a trunk, which is to say, somebody coming up in that thing and some luggage.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Le Batard. Bomani Jones and Dominique Foxworth in today. Let's get started.
I ain't never had nothing
like
that.
You know, you know the kind of trunk I'm talking about. The black joint with all the gold, like, studding and stuff on it.
Does Russell Westbrook testing positive for COVID change how you feel about the NBA restart?
Guys, if the NBA can't get this right, if they cannot get through the rest of their season, nobody else is going to have a chance on this, because when you talk to people involved with these protocols, it is unbelievable the lengths this league has gone to make sure that there won't be a lot of instances like this. And the reason that this is so bad from strictly a game standpoint is if you even do get to the end of this somehow, we're going to get such a distorted, mutated champion. Because players like this are going to have to go away for 10 days. Basketball is usually pretty predictable, guys. In a best of seven series, largely, the better team ends up winning. But under these circumstances, just from a game standpoint, guys like this going out, I got to imagine it's going to happen plenty.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing their best on this. And I think that all of us that are at all reasonable understood that this is going to be difficult to pull off if they can pull it off at all. This just happens to be the first really big name close to this that we've heard is going to be sidelined because of COVID. The thing we got to remember with Westbrook is I have no idea when he's going to come back. Like, look, if I got to put my money on anybody being able to just play through this, it would be Russell Westbrook, right? Like, I mean, I feel like it's going to take a whole lot more than a debilitating pandemic to stop him from being able to dunk on people, right? That's what it is. But we are going to have dudes going in and out, and we don't know what the timing of it is going to be. And it's going to be weird watching the basketball that we ultimately get. So I've never thought that this was a good idea. I thought it was a necessary idea because they just got too much money on the line to not try. But you're going to hear more names like this, and you're going to hear them pop up at some odd times. And Dan's right. By the time we get to the end, there is no telling who's still going to be on the floor.
Well, I mean, I'm distracted now because you said that a global pandemic can't stop Russell Westbrook. Now I'm just trying to think of what could potentially stop Russell Westbrook. But that aside, I think it's fair to point out that this is pre-bubble. So the assumption is that this won't happen, or this will be less likely to happen when you get in the bubble. Maybe, even though I think one of his teammates has already accidentally violated some of the protocols, and some IG models are saying that players are already inviting them into the bubble. So it's a problem. There are going to be plenty of positive tests, but I'm not sure that as many of the star players are going to have positive tests as we believe could potentially happen.
Bomani, you mentioned a couple of months ago the idea that Von Miller, for example, playing in high altitude, what this does to your lung capacity in terms of damage. Russell Westbrook, if we take some of his lung capacity, he's still going to be more athletic than everyone out there. He's still going to be less tired than anyone in the fourth quarter. But taking someone's lung capacity in this sport is not a small thing.
Oh, no, no, no. It's huge. Like, the thing that people have to remember, again, yeah, this thing can kill you, but if you live, you still got to live with what it does. And we're finding out more and more, especially with people's vascular systems, that this thing is a monster. But I'm sorry, I don't want to dehumanize Russell Westbrook. He is a man. If you prick him, he will bleed, all of that stuff. But he got COVID. The only reason you can't put him on the floor is because somebody else might catch it. I don't think for a second that's going to stop him from going up and down the floor like that. I once watched that dude play with a dent in his face. Remember that time he had a dent in his face?
Should we give the Washington professional football team a pat on the back for officially deciding to change its name?
Guys, I really did not think that this was going to happen in my lifetime. Daniel Snyder was so strident about, I will not change this name. And as you've seen with Jerry Jones still hiding from all the microphones, you can usually do what you want in that sport when you have the most money. But when other companies that have more money than you do say they will take away their money, this is what ends up happening. This is not about the time. This is not about Native Americans. This is simply about the money telling Daniel Snyder, we have more FU money than you do. And what I see happening here, guys, and I think this is interesting, because we can't actually, with these protests, get to a place where we find change and reform in a day, a minute, a week, or a month, because these things take time, you have this just random them flailing from these corporations doing the right thing way too late because they're just trying to do something. And what ends up happening here is Daniel Snyder takes yet another loss.
Yeah, I think that you made a point that kind of contradicted with your first point, but I agree more with the second point, is that they are randomly flailing because the public is pushing them. It's not the money that's making this happen. It's the public making the money make this happen. So I think the result is good. It's fine to give them a pat on the back if that encourages other people to continue to behave in an ethical manner. But I am interested in what they go with as the next name, because I think it's important that Red Tails has come up a lot, which is a group of black fighters from World War II. I think it's important that if you go with that name, that you also have to couple that with some sort of commitment to black veterans, because otherwise, then aren't you just appropriating a name? The same is true if they go with the Warriors. So I think that whatever name they go with, if it's connected to someone else's heritage, which I think Red Tails is probably a front runner, considering that it's connected to the military and it's connected to black people, which DC is still barely a predominantly black city. I think that's a choice that could be likely near the top of the list. They need to understand that 5 years from now, they're going to be back in the same position where people are throwing stones at them unless they couple the name of the team with some sort of action. So that's not just grabbing a name and trying to live on the goodwill built up by other people.
Producer asked me if we should pat Washington on the Dan Snyder on the back for this when we should have been smacking upside the head for 20 years for the fact that it took so long. They're not doing right. They just stopped doing wrong. And that's an important difference, because one thing that is lacking so far, it was lacking in the statement that they put out and the one they put out on July the 3rd. There's no acknowledgement of wrong in this. This is not simply a matter of we decided to change the name. If it's the right thing to do to change it, then you need to acknowledge the fact that it was wrong and you need to acknowledge why it was wrong. The problem is Snyder's been standing on lies for 20 years to try to say why this name was justified and try to pull out any Native American that he could find to say, hey, this guy says it's okay, so it must be okay. No, man, they get no props for this. They don't get anything positive in the name of this. And I'm not even sure I feel good about this idea of the Washington Red Tails, because I don't understand why in the world the name of this team has anything to do with the military. They said that on their statement on July the 3rd, that we want to have a name that honors our military. Explain to me how the last name honored the military, because it sounds to me like if that was honoring in the military, then you were acknowledging that you were taking a victory lap on the Native Americans by saying, hey, this is honoring these people whom you have conquered. What was that? Oh, okay, cool. So what, that didn't make any sense? So what are we doing here, man? All these things that they keep coming up with behind the name, your name doesn't have to be something that deep. It just has to stop being a racial slur. And you don't get credit for no longer calling somebody a racial slur.
Is losing Rajon Rondo a big deal for the Lakers' title chances?
Deion Waiters is saying, finally, I got my chance here. Get Rondo out of the way. Rondo had the bad look here recently of complaining about the rooms in Disney World when the rooms are pretty nice during a pandemic, and now he goes out for 8 weeks. This would be the move if I didn't actually want to play but still wanted to get paid. Go get injured. As I look at this, though, this isn't going to have very much of an impact. It feels like LeBron has taken just about anybody with him to the finals in years past. As long as he and Anthony Davis stay away from everybody, whoever it is that plays with them is going to end up getting toward the end of the season.
Yeah, I actually think that round two is what really matters. Like, they're not going to impact their standing if they lose a bunch of games in the 8 games leading up. They'll still be the number one overall seed, most likely. Round one, they'll be able to do with or without Rondo, and he should come back for round two. But he will not be in whatever basketball shape is. He won't be working into the tempo of that team at that point. If they can get past that point with Rondo hurt, I think that they'll be fine. But I do think that he matters. If he doesn't come back and play well for at least the conference finals and the finals, it's a problem, because while he's a starter, he's essentially LeBron's backup. They don't have very many people who can run the offense. And not that he runs the offense nearly as well as LeBron does, or as well as maybe even he did in his prime. He is someone who they can give the ball to and can play point guard when LeBron is tired or LeBron is on the bench. And he's someone who's had a ton of success with Anthony Davis down in New Orleans. So I do think that this piece is more important than we're giving it credit for. If he does not come back well, this could really hurt their championship chances.
Guys, that is going to take a moment right now to speak for what I think is a significant portion of America. And I am going to tell you, I have forgot everything I knew about this NBA season. I have forgot who was good. I forgot like every little insight I had about the different teams from like all the advanced numbers and all that. I have forgotten everything out there. They're like, Rondo's not going to play for 6 to 8 weeks. I had to go look up and see if he was even playing before. And when I looked it up, I saw that he had a very good February, but was not necessarily playing so well in March. So who's to say that they were actually going to get a good Rondo when he was down there. I have no idea. What this means is you're going to get a little bit more of your man Alex Caruso so that people can make him a fan favorite, even though they ignore that he'd be out here dunking on people. But it's going to take a while for all of us, once we get back to the bubble, to be like, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot he played for them. They were talking to me a little while ago about some dude named Bruno. I didn't even know. Like, I didn't even see. Like, what? I it's like the NBA is this thing I used to do. But, man, it's going to take a while.
This is the thing, though. Dominique is out here making the argument on behalf of Rondo, and the one going to be holding the trophy with LeBron is going to be like Sean Livingston or something, because they're going to go find him in retirement.
Your point about Caruso is accurate, though. Like, the numbers with LeBron on Caruso on the floor together are better than anybody else. Like, that is their big two. As much as people want to make Caruso just a hairline dunking, he is more than that. He's important to this offense. So if Rondo's injury means Caruso gets
your
more
analysis
minutes,
has been
off.
So bad this segment. The big two.
Yo, it's so wild with Caruso. People at once get mad because people don't acknowledge that he's good, while they also don't fully acknowledge that he's good, unless they're going to go way too far about how good he is. Dominique?
The bald two.
Stop. LeBron's hairline is strong.
Yo, that, in fact, that must be why Caruso on the team, because LeBron is like, look, ain't nobody say nothing about me. Like, that is the Bundini Brown of the NBA right there. I keep making these Bundini Brown jokes, completely forgetting that the generation that can appreciate them is dying off by the day.
You're getting old. You're getting old, and they're going to leave it in. They're going to leave that in on you. You're getting old, Jones.
No, the problem is y'all are getting old, because what used to be my superpower is that I was very young but could speak middle-aged language, and now y'all are getting old, and now I just seem like super played out.
Bundini Brown is a reference from the 1960s.
But we have not replaced Bundini Brown with another person with a moon roof, except for a dude that's sitting in front of me right now with a baseball cap on.
No, don't come after me now. No, don't make it, because you made a reference from 60 years ago. You've come after me.
Oh, man.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Oh,
that's wow. Lean Mello. Look at that. I haven't seen that. Wasn't Lean. He didn't look like that at Syracuse.
No, he didn't look anything like that at Syracuse.
And he wore that tank top and the tight shorts. Normally he put on a hoodie so y'all can't see his body and clown his doughy arms. But he came out here.
Wait a minute. Did he get off a bicycle before he went in there?
Do you question Ben Simmons' range?
All right, we've got a fishing story from the bubble. Ben Simmons, is he right-handed? Is he left-handed? Let's see. He's caught a very small fish here, and then he is giving it its life back here and with his left hand. And, that's not a good finish there for the fish. Well, it gets to live. I suppose that's positive, but there's that. And then a lot of people are making the jokes, you know, when he shoots, he can't even hit the water, can't even hit the ocean. So have at it, gentlemen.
I mean, it did go in. It bounced around a little bit. It bounced around the rim, but it went in. He made the shot. He finished. He scored 2 points and 2 points. It ain't got to be pretty.
I just don't understand why he's like this. Like, I mean, it's just the most inexplicable thing. He's so talented. He's so good. We should not be at a point where we're not sure if this dude is shooting with the right hand. How you don't know if you're shooting with the hand you're supposed to shoot with at this point? And instead of trying, he just does it, right? And you know what? I probably shouldn't be doing this on television right now, because laughing at him for not being able to throw a fish into the ocean is the reason why he won't try to do that in front of nobody, right? My problem is not that he doesn't shoot threes. It's that he doesn't shoot. He doesn't even try. NBA history is full of people who needed to stop trying to shoot. And now this guy, like one of the five most talented dudes in the league, just refuses to shoot.
He's so confusing. How does his college team win only 14 games and doesn't even get to the NIT? How is that possible?
Because your best player just is like, I don't want to shoot. Why would I want to? Who are these people who play basketball because they don't want to shoot? Have you ever met anybody who wanted to, like, even Rondo, he wants to shoot. He just had to stop.
Do you question if this changes your expectations for the Blazers?
So I've been wondering who's going to show up at this bubble out of shape, right? We have a number of transformations so far that we've seen from basketball players, but they've gone the other way where they get fitter than the last time we saw them. So that's James Harden. James Harden looking like he's had a really rough life in that photo. That's Jokic. He's like 100 pounds. He looks like Porzingis.
That's not Porzingis.
That's not Porzingis. And there's Marc Gasol there. We didn't show you how shredded Zion is here. So let's take a look at Melo here. Did he get beefier? Did he get shredded? Did he get leaner? Let's look.
Ooh,
oh, that's wow. Lean Melo. Look at that. I haven't seen – that wasn't lean. He didn't look like that at Syracuse.
No, he didn't look anything like that at Syracuse.
And he wore that tank top and the tight shorts. Normally he put on a hoodie so y'all can't see his body and clown his doughy arms. But he came out here.
Wait a minute. Did he get off a bicycle before he went in there?
Can y'all explain to me what it is about this time that has brought all these players back? Like every year we get one guy who comes back on the offseason in good shape. We get so many guys and they have nothing in common. So whatever theory that you might have for James Harden, I don't think it applies to these other three guys necessarily.
What else are they going to do? Like, that's the whole thing. No way. Come on.
Drink a lot of alcohol. What we doing?
I mean, if I'm out here working out, then these cats who got like a livid involved in it definitely got to be a Jokic is the most stunning one. Like, honestly, if nobody had told you that it was a quarantine, you would look at least three of those pictures and be like, yo, are those dudes okay? Like, Marc Gasol, are you straight? Like, Marc Gasol go to his granny's house and she'd be like, are you sure you don't want to have something to eat?
Look at that. Those clavicles are popping out.
Yo, you put that next to that picture of him in high school.
Yeah, I forgot.
Like, the best part about this is, you know Marc Gasol was dedicated to losing this weight because he ain't bought no new clothes yet, right? look at those clothes, right? Like, them shorts are so loose that he can't even line them up straight.
What's he doing? He got a fold over? I don't think the drawstring could accomplish that. Like, there is some help there. A rubber band?
Jokic, Marc Gasol, and Melo. It's the rare time that when a guy says, you know what? I'm in the best shape of my life. And you got to be like, yeah, no, you're right. I see that. But Dan, we got a clip here for you. It seems that my good buddy Gonzalo wanted to run something by you.
Oh, no.
Hey, Dan, I have a question. How come you didn't do what Melo did during quarantine time?
Oh, come on, man. My father, what is he doing? You guys are now getting jokes from my father in retirement in his home? What are you doing?
Jokes.
In a park in Sweden, Woody Harrelson playing hoops.
All right. So one of the stars of White Men Can't Jump. It was Can't Jump, right? It's so long ago. Yeah. Good Lord. That's an old reference. Yeah. Let's check out Woody Harrelson here. Can he play basketball?
By the way, he was the white man who couldn't jump. And ooh. Okay, he got court vision. Okay.
Give it to him.
Okay.
He's near 60, though. I mean, that's kind of how he played back then, too, right? They made a movie around that, basically.
Well, part of it is that he's near 60. The other part is, if you know how Woody Harrelson gets down, the game was moving real slow for him while he was out there.
Yeah. I mean, it is impressive, though, for a 60-year-old. Like, I feel like, given the surgeries I've had, that might be what I look like, except darker and dunking and quicker.
Yeah. And a better shooter. Here's my question.
Better defense,
Me and Dominique show up on that court. How quickly are they trying to figure out how to make room under the salary cap to get us on the team? Like, how quickly is the general manager of that pickup team trying to figure out who he's got to give the hard truth to? They don't know if we can hoop or not, but we're going to be out there.
Tonight on the Game Show Network, Family Feud.
All right, this is a good clip here. Some retired football players are playing Family Feud. Michael Irvin was into the great many histrionics, but look at what happens here with Bruce Smith. This is wonderful.
If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the age a kid is too old to sleep with a tape.
Go ahead. Come on, we can't start this again. We can't, come on now. We can't go again.
I'm sorry.
We can't go again.
I'm sorry.
Let go.
I'm sorry. I swear I'm sorry. That just came out. I don't even know where that came from. I was reading the question, and then I said, what?
What happened there? What? I'm now imagining a superhero with a penis for an arm. What is happening?
It's a tool. Like, I mean, I guess you could argue that it is a tool of some sort, but why would you need that at work? I'm confused. I don't know what's going on in Bruce Smith's head. I don't want to be in there. It's scary. Concussions.
Well, I mean, they do make movies about handymen who suddenly have use for this tool that he talked about. You know what I mean? Fair. Like, maybe that's the thing. Bruce Smith never, he's so rich, he doesn't have to call an actual handyman. So his only reference for the handyman is, I hear you need something repaired in your home. Now, right fast though, those Hall of Famers love nothing more than being Hall of Famers because they showed up to the damn Family Feud wearing them yellow jackets, right? Like, they showed up with that. And I guess Steve Harvey must think he a Hall of Famer too because he went with a yellowish gold kind of sort of jacket. I don't know. We would be talking a lot more about the color of his coat if Bruce Smith had not come out there and Freudian in front of everybody.
We're done. We don't have any time left today, but check out The Right Time with Bomani Jones. If you want some more Bomani Jones, The Undefeated is where you find Dominique Foxworth, and need you to rate, subscribe, and review Lebatard and Friends Podcast Network. Thank you for watching.
Were they not supposed to rate and review my
like that's
only,
right.
Only people.
That's
only
right.
People
that's right. You go. You can go to his stuff, but only rate, subscribe, and review mine. Just go to his.